Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad I'm here, too, because I'm in Garrett County, Maryland, broadcasting live from the Our Story Conference. I'm going to be speaking this afternoon and tomorrow, but I'll also be broadcasting the rest of this hour and tomorrow from this wonderful part of the world, and I really appreciate them inviting me up here because I get to be with my peeps up here in Maryland, my old friends and my new friends, and my new friends are all the small business owners here in this area, which includes Kurt Heckman, who's our guest this half hour. He's with Sycamore Associates. He's president and CEO and founder and probably at one time maybe even was the janitor.
Yes.
But, Kurt, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jim. It's good to be here.
You know about turning the lights on and turning the lights off, don't you?
You sure do. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. How long have you been in business?
We started it in February of 96, so we're coming up on our 10th anniversary.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Well done. And you're the founder.
Yes.
Now, what?
Well, I had help.
You did? Okay. All right. Do you ever... There's a country music song by Dierks Bentley, and the title is "I Know What I Was Feeling, But What Was I Thinking?"
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So in the last 9+ years, have you ever said to yourself, "I know what I was feeling, but what was I thinking?"
Oh, absolutely. There have been days where I think if you showed up with a quarter, I'd have sold it all to you. But yeah, it's worth it though. It really is.
Sometimes people might have shown up and they said, "How much?" And you said 500, but will you take a check from me?
Yeah, right. Right, exactly.
No. You know about that, but it's all worth it now, isn't it?
Absolutely. No,
and you got to get through those days, don't you?
Sure. And there's still those days out ahead. You know, even when the business has succeeded for 10 years, you know, you have to take a realistic approach to it. You can't take any given day as, you know,
right,
the best day of your life or the worst day of your life.
Because you're still a small business.
You bet.
You know, I don't know if you probably haven't heard of Blasingame's razor. You know what Occam's razor is?
Oh, sure.
Well, Blasingame's razor is... it's redundant to say undercapitalized small business.
Yes.
Do you agree with that?
I would. For us, capitalization came a little bit easier when we really started to pick up in the government space.
Right.
Because when we got our first big contract with the government, you go to the bank and you say, "I want to borrow, you know, $1 million," and they look at you with kind of their eyes glazed over, and they say, "Well, what collateral do you have?" And you say, "Accounts receivable."
Right.
And they're worried that it's, you know, some
right,
big company is going to go bankrupt,
right,
you know, some Enron type thing. And when you say it's the federal government, then they change their tune.
It gets their attention, doesn't it?
You do. It
yeah,
does, because then all of a sudden their attitude is, well, they know you're going to get paid.
Right, exactly.
And they'll get paid.
So this contract, now I told the audience you were a technology company.
Yes.
You're an IT company. Tell us what you do.
We do a lot of systems engineering and software engineering.
Customized work?
Typically, yes, very much so.
They tell you what they want. We want this turned upside down, painted purple, and automated.
Yeah, absolutely.
You do it for
them. What we do is we try to come in. We try to go a little bit past that. We want to get to know them and what their real needs are, because sometimes, you know, language has its failings.
Right.
And sometimes,
especially private sector, government sector.
You bet. And sometimes they'll communicate in, like, a document, like a request for proposal.
Right.
And they'll write it down 10 pages or whatever, and this is what we want.
Only 10 pages?
Well, sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Our contract with Fannie Mae, it was less than that.
Oh, really?
Sure.
Wow.
Well, not the contract, but the request for proposal.
Specifications, yeah.
Yes. But you sit down across the table for them, and you try to get into their head a little bit better and really understand, and then you can mature.
Getting into the head of a government employee, that's scary.
It's a tight space.
Scary.
It's really tight space.
Do you have
space
to have any kind of medication or anything?
You do.
To go there
you
and
do.
Just teasing government people. I love you. I'm just teasing. Just having a little fun here.
Sure. I hope none of my customers are listening.
We're just having a little fun. Go ahead.
I forget what I was about to say. Oh, but you just try to understand a little bit more about their business. The more you can understand what your customers' problems are and their challenges are, the better you're going to be able to show up and, you know, and scratch the itch, answer the mail.
Well,
and that's
yeah,
huge.
Well, yeah, and even governments have pain.
Oh, absolutely.
And if you can ease their pain,
yeah,
that's really what you do.
Sure, absolutely. You know, when I'm out interviewing new people for the job, basically what I'm saying is, you're a solution. I need to find the right problem
right,
for you.
Right.
And when I'm out talking to a customer, okay, you've got some problems. Let me try to find the right solutions
right,
for you.
Right.
So it's meeting, you know, what people know against what people need.
Give us an example without mentioning names. I don't want to reach any confidences, but give us an example of a project that you guys would work on.
Well, actually, in a couple of them, I can give you names.
Okay.
One, we had an interesting little satellite for NASA called Galax.
Mm-hmm.
And our customer, Orbital Science, terrific customer, great company. And basically, they needed some additional help with people who could do software, who understood some of the software that was already out there on the street, some of the
mm-hmm.
COT software.
Mm-hmm. Off the shelf.
Off the shelf, exactly. And basically, Sycamore came in and worked with Orbital Sciences, great partnership there. And we built the mission planning system. And we also helped support the command and control system. And right now, that little satellite's flying around the Earth, and it's taking great pictures of the outer space.
Now, did you replace the off-the-shelf stuff, or did you take the off-the-shelf stuff and make it more usable, customized?
The latter. What we did is typically we glued multiple off-the-shelf pieces together and figured out where was the gap between these multiple capabilities and filled in that gap, made them talk to each other. And
so
like
basically
that.
There's a Ford on the shelf, there's a Chevrolet on the shelf, and we need a hybrid of those.
You
and
bet.
You guys created the hybrid.
You bet. That's
all right.
Exactly good.
Now, one of the things we try to cover on the show are the different types of operating platforms. There's Windows,
sure.
There's Unix, and there's Linux.
Right.
Those three. Unix is Unix considered to be open source? Linux is open source. That's the original open source, right?
Well, Unix is a more general term. It's kind of like the grandpa. Inside of Unix, there's different flavors. Until recently, the biggest deployment of Unix was Solaris.
Right.
And that was Sun's Unix product.
Okay.
IBM has a terrific one called AIX.
It's terrific with a capital T, right?
Correct.
Right.
And we did more work on AIX rather than anything. Right. But growing right now is Linux, and Linux is the free version,
right,
for the most part.
Right. Well, the reason and then you got Windows,
absolutely,
which is proprietary.
Yeah, absolutely.
And or if you wish, closed source.
Right.
And the reason I like to differentiate that is because, as small businesses out there are contemplating going from a peer-to-peer, off-the-shelf type of technology and a peer-to-peer type of relationships where everybody's got their own PC, they're thinking about going to a server, they're thinking about growing their business, a guy like you is going to come in, you're going to talk to them, okay, are we going Windows or are we going open source? Are we going Unix or are we going, are we going Windows? And they've got to help you make that decision, don't they?
Yeah, absolutely. And what I would advise them is, pick the platform that is going to be easiest for you to do what you've got to do. So
right. There's
so many customers that have Windows machines
on their
desktop. That makes sense. They're comfortable with the
software. But if they're graduating, I'm not saying anything against Windows, but if they're graduating, why not graduate them?
Yeah.
If there's something better.
Absolutely. In my office, my admin who's right outside my office, he runs a Linux day in, day out.
Right.
And has every application that I have.
Windows.
And I'm on.
Yeah. It's a wacky world, folks. And Kurt is the guy who helped you wade through those weeds and get through that swamp. We're going to be right back. I've got some more really cool questions. This really cool guy. Right after the message. 20 after. Back at 23 at the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, small business advocate, and I'm broadcasting live from Garrick, Charlotte. I love going on the road. I love being out with my peeps all across the country, small business, all over the place. It's just so much fun to meet them face-to-face and to interview them like I'm doing right now with Kurt Heckman. He's a small business owner. You got 100 employees. Is that right, Kurt?
Yes, sir.
Congratulations. He's the president, the founder, and CEO, and former janitor of Sycamore Associates.
Still the janitor.
Sometimes you do.
Depends what the mess is.
One thing for sure, you turn the lights on, you turn the lights off.
Although I've got good folks that are also turning the lights on and turning the lights off. Yeah.
Now, your main office, though, is not in Garrett County.
No.
You got a satellite here.
You're right.
Why do you have a... It's in Fredericksburg, right?
Frederick, Maryland.
That's right. There is a Fredericksburg, but that's somewhere...
And that's Virginia.
That's Virginia. Yeah. Frederick, Maryland. I know where that is. And that's your headquarters.
It is.
So why are you up here?
Well, two things. One, Frederick is a good launching space. It's about an hour out of Washington and Baltimore. However, it still has some of the very high costs associated with being close to the big metropolitan area. Two things brought us to Garrett County. One was it does have a lower cost for doing business up here.
Hmm.
the direct rates. People are looking for salaries that are lower up here, which is great.
Right.
That helps us competitive.
Right. They got a lower cost of living.
You bet. And they still have a really good life.
And
up
a lot
here.
Of the stuff that you do can be done anywhere.
They
could be in Spokane for all.
Exactly. When we do software development up here, that works really well.
As long as information can move at the speed of light, they can be anywhere.
Exactly. The second thing is this is a hub zone. This entire county. Yeah, according to Small Business Administration, is a historically underutilized business zone.
Oh, yeah.
And Hub Zone has been big for my company, absolutely. We've gotten some of the first Hub Zone contracts in the intelligence community.
Hmm.
And that's been...
That's one of your client profiles is the intelligence industry.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I don't want you to have to kill me or anything, but can you give me a generic idea about the kind of things you do for them?
But typically, it's everything that you'll do for a...
Stuff you can talk about.
Absolutely. It can be office-type things. It can be engineering-type work. We've got some people who work on telephone switches and things like that. So some of it's real high-tech. Some of it's low-tech.
Right.
It's just like any big entity. They have needs across the spectrum.
What's it like running an IT company these days? You know, the industry's maturing, isn't it?
It is. The day when America dominated the IT space is over.
That ship has sailed.
Yeah, it really has. And now we have to compete, not for the DOD work,
right,
but to have a balance of DOD work and work out in the commercial space. Out in the commercial space, it's tough.
Are we competing? Is America competing on the IT?
Boy,
in the IT environment.
I think the answer still is yes, because we have the advantage of being in the back door, you know, of the biggest customer. America's still the biggest consumer of IT.
Right.
And we're here.
Right.
So if, as a small business, you can get buddied up to a company or a big customer who needs your services, yeah, you got an edge up over the guys in India and China and the other places that are trying to...
But they got a bullet over there. Don't they? I mean, they're coming. They're moving faster.
You bet.
What do we need to be looking out for? Are we looking over our shoulder like Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kids and saying, who are those guys?
Some.
They just keep coming, though, don't they?
Yeah. The thing is, if the fewer regulations that we can have against small businesses, the better. I know that there's some big companies out there right now that are creating preferred vendors lists.
Right.
And
they've been doing that for 20 years, though.
Yeah, but they're also looking at regulations. If you have a contractor on site for more than 18 months, they want that person to rotate out.
Right.
Because they're afraid they're going to get sued that, you know, that's a de facto employee.
Right, not a subcontractor.
And that's really hurting small business.
Yeah.
If they could somehow, oddly enough, if we could somehow protect big businesses from being sued by small businesses, that would actually, in the long run, help the small businesses, you know.
Well, you're a technology company, and you're very much predisposed to align yourself with a lobbying organization that's working on those kind of projects. And I'm sure you've helped those organizations who do that.
Yeah, some. I mean, when you talk about lobbying,
who are trying to help those big companies, who are trying to get the regulations. Where they're not so onerous on small business.
Sometimes you just don't know who to talk to in those regards. I mean, you see something that's wrong there. Yeah, we got a great local congressman here who will listen to your problems and try to do what he can. But yeah, sometimes these big companies, you know, they're almost like countries. They're so big.
Right. Oh yeah, yeah. But I was just thinking of the lobby. Like for example, we're familiar with the Association for Competitive Technologies.
Okay.
That group, they work really hard to. You know, lobby for companies like yours,
right?
As well as larger companies,
right?
And they keep up with the issues, and so I guess my point is, you're an IT company,
right.
I'm a consumer of IT. Both of us ought to be in politics, involved in impacting politics, because even though I'm not producing and I'm consuming it, if you can't produce it for me effectively, I can't consume it.
You're right. You're absolutely right. And the closest we come to that is like we're involved in the Hub Zone Council,
right?
So the Hub Zone has a small business set aside program. It does need its own advocacy because occasionally there are challenges against it.
Right. Give us the website, please.
It is www.sycamore.us.
Sycamore.us. And if we went there, could we learn all about how you guys do business and why we might want to do business with you?
Absolutely, absolutely.
All right.
Maybe even see a picture of me, although I've been told I have a face for radio.
No. You're a handsome guy. No, I'm excited about having you here. And I got 20 seconds. Last thoughts on running your business. What would you tell small business owners?
Oh, stick to what you're good at. Boy, for us, every time we tried to get into something that was too far afield, it seemed like a good idea, but we didn't have a lot of experience in it. That always burned us.
Focus on your competencies.
Absolutely.
And let somebody else do everything else.
You bet.
Outsource. You do a lot of outsourcing, too, probably.
We do.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, thank you very much, Kurt. I appreciate
it. Thank you, Jim.
Kurt Heckman, ladies and gentlemen. He's with Sycamore Associates. That's Sycamore Associates.
Sycamore.us.
Sycamore.us. All right. Check that website out, folks, when you get a chance. Coming right back after these messages with the Lieutenant Governor Michael Steele of the great state of Maryland, right after these messages. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, broadcasting live from Garrett County, Maryland. This show is brought to you by IBM, Office Depot, and Invincible.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.